Wednesday evening Bible study. Again, it is a Bible study, participation. Any thoughts that you have or something that may transpire during what I'm saying, you have something to say on that, go ahead and bring that out. The task of this study is to present an explanation of the words predestination, foreordination or foreordained, and election are to be chosen. Those four words we're going to look at. When you look at Ephesians 1 and verse 4, Paul says, according as he has chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse 11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So that word there is used three times. When you turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, Paul there says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So this predestination, chosen, who he chose, again, these words are used in this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. These passages, if you will, are frequently used in discussion of the biblical doctrine, again, of predestination, foreknowledge, and election. These are verses Calvinistic people use to show that God has predestined certain individuals to be saved and others lost. John Calvin defined predestination as the eternal decree of God by which he decided with himself who, what is to become of each and every individual before the foundations of the world. From the beginning of Adam to the last person being born, what Calvin says is that they have been predestinated by God whether they're going to be lost or saved. And so that was his definition or his understanding, if you will, of these verses. And of course, it's the denomination's understanding of these verses also in that. Some things in the Scriptures have been predetermined by God. The crucifixion of Christ was predetermined before the world began, that Christ would suffer upon the cross, through whom man would be redeemed. When you turn to Acts chapter 2, in verse 23, Peter there is preaching to those on Pentecost, says, him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. When you turn to 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 17, Peter there says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but manifest in these last times to you. So that Christ's death was foreordained. He was predestined to die that death before time, if you will, begin. Also, Abraham was chosen before the foundations of the world, through whom the seed would come. He was predestinated for that. The children of Israel was predestinated before time began, that they would be the nation through whom Christ would come. Eternal life was predestinated before the foundations of the world. Titus 1, verses 1 and 2. So some things were predestinated, others. But the man of where he would be was not predestinated whether he would be in heaven or hell. And so you understand that some things were predestinated, that God set certain things in order that was going to happen. That one of those things was that Christ would save man from his sin. He was out of death upon the cross. In trying to arrive at the truth taught in these passages above, or any passage, it's necessary for one to practice five basic principles of interpretation of the Bible. I think maybe Don has covered these before, I'm not for sure, but anyhow, they are to study and understand the meaning of words as they are understood by the original author of what Peter wrote, of what Paul wrote, of what is penned there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those, you need to go back to the time when they wrote, the language that they wrote, how things were used, how words were used. And so you must understand the purpose of the original author of why he wrote what he wrote. We understand the grammar or language at that time. And that has been brought out in prior classes. We need to study and understand the historical background of the author and to whom he is talking. When you look at the book of Revelation, John says, I was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. So John was writing in exile as a prisoner. And so you have to understand why, who was writing, what was his circumstance that he was writing, to whom he was writing to, when that was to take place. He refers to that in verse 2, or verse 1, things which must shortly come to pass. As you look at that term, it just means it's close by, it's near. And so you need to understand all these things when you're looking at this. You need to study the passage very carefully in its larger context and its intermediate context. In other words, what a verse here means. Then look at the larger context of how a word or something is used in other contexts or other verses of Scripture. It gives you a better understanding that one verse may not be real clear on a word of what it means. But other passages you go to that clears that word up. It may be a different word, but with the same Greek word that gives you a better understanding, if you will, of what you're looking at. That the final interpretation, number 5, placed upon the passage under consideration, must be in harmony with all other passages of Scripture concerning what is being studied. So those are the rules of interpretation that we must be our guideline to understand this study that we're endeavoring to do of this word and how the world views these passages. But we want to look at some key words, if you will. I'll try to, you can write these down that I don't misrepresent them. Go back and look at Vines or Strong's either. Again, there's several words that's different, but the same Greek word or Hebrew word. Chosen or elect. Now, I'll not attempt to pronounce these words. I'll spell them for you. You can look at them. E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S. This word chosen or elect is the same Greek word, okay? The word elect is used 13 times in the New Testament. All the same, again, the same Greek word. It means favorite, to select, together, to make a choice, to choose for oneself or one that is chosen out of the world. When you look at 1 Peter, chapter 2, in verse 4, Peter there says, to whom coming, as unto living stones, disallowed of man, but chosen of God as precious, concerning Christ. In verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. As we go through and look at this, sometimes the word chosen is just referring to Christians, that you are a chosen generation. Other times, it incorporates the world, okay? So you keep in mind when looking at these verses, it's very easy to distinguish, but you are a chosen generation. So we understand who Peter is writing to, and we understand how that word is used. But it's not always, if you will, used as that. He told you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Paul there says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love. And again, the word just simply... describes the act of selecting or choosing one or a few out of many. And again, that's what we want to look at. Does God just choose one or a few out of many as they teach? But it's just the act of selecting or choosing. We are a chosen priesthood. God chose us. But why did He choose us? Luke 10, verse 42. Concerning Martha and Mary, in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that which is good. She chose one thing out of many. That's what it's having reference to. So she chose that best part. So she's just, the thing of choosing, you have many selections to make, but you choose one thing. It's how it's used. Chapter 23, verse 35 of Luke. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God, the one that God selected to come into this world. In 2 John, we see the same word as chosen, but the word there that is used with the same Greek word is elect. In verse 13 of 2 John, the children of thy elect sister. Singular or plural. She there is referred to as an elect person or chosen person. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Many. Okay, so the word chosen refers to one. It can refer to many. Paul refers to them as God's elect. Many. Okay, so it's the same word, if you will, as chosen. And again, it's used in many other scriptures, these two words are, but they are the same. And again, it's the idea of what? To a favorite. Who are God's favorite people? Well, it wasn't those who Calvin says was predestined, that he just picked here or there. He picked Sam, Lou, and Jude, or whoever. But it's those his favorites are those who are obedient to His word. Okay? That's who He chose. That's the meaning of elect, to select, to gather, to make a choice, choose for oneself. He chooses so many out of mankind has ever lived because of their obedience to the gospel. That's who He chooses. And so that's how that word is used. Any thoughts on that? Again, I invite you, if you write these down, go back. Do not misrepresent the meaning of them. Predestinate, foreordain, foreknow, to determine. These are all the same word. Okay? The Greek word is H-O-R-I-Z-O. But all these words are the same in the Greek. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined. Again, here's this word that's referred to as predestinate, to foreknow. But here it says the word is determined. They determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And when you maybe look at the meaning, as we'll get to later on of this, you can kind of see what maybe makes it more clear of what they determined to do, okay? Chapter 17, in verse 26. Paul here, Mars Hill, is concerning Christ and the unknown God. Verse 26, it says, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. If you take the term determined here and put that word bounds with it, that's what it means. Okay? They have been bound. We have been bound. Predestinated, foreknew, or determined, God says. So that's what, if you will, the word means, and we'll look at it a little bit more as we go. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. We looked at this earlier. Here the word is used, him being delivered by the determinate or determined counsel of God, and foreknowledge or determined. Predestinated. The same Greek word on that, the H-O-R-I-Z-O. Chapter 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained. This word ordained is the same word as determined, predestinated, foreknowledge. And so it may give you a clearer understanding when you're looking at this word that there's other words that may make it clear what it means. They were ordained. What was ordained? From the foundations of the world. What was determined from the foundations of the world? Chapter 17. And verse 31. Again, this word, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained or determined to do that judging. And again, that was set in order before man was created. That was something that was predestinated, if you will, on that. So Christ was set for that. Romans 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection. This word declared is the same word as determined or predestinated. So he was declared to be the Son of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 7. Again, he lived a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The word here, living. What were those other versions? This is what the King James says. Who has other versions?
The King James says, again, he designates a certain day.
Designates. It's the same word as determined. This word limited is the same word, Greek word, as determined. So he limited a certain day. He predestined a certain day. And so you see the many different words, if you will, that goes on. Vine goes on to say on this word, he defined a certain day. And so you see, you get, maybe get clearer meanings of what the word means from the many different. And there's probably other words there also that, you know, that I didn't look at. But that's just several right there. So again, the importance of a Greek dictionary to look at those words. Because you usually, if you look at foreknow or something, all he'll say, go to determine. And then you look at that. There's a lot of that in there. That particular word, if you look at foreordained or something, probably in Scripture, depending on what verse, maybe not even maybe be used but one time and maybe not used. And so there's other words that you look at. It's something handy, if you will, to have. And you can see if the same Greek word applies to all those verses, then you can see the meaning more clear of what the writer makes. They just say, well, he predestinated. He declared. He limited, if you will. And so that's one of the Greek words. There's another Greek word, and the meaning basically is the same thing, but it is a different Greek word concerning predestinated or determined. And it's a P-R-O-O-R-I-C-O. And all this word means is to mark out beforehand. God has marked out beforehand the qualifications of what one must do to become a Christian. That's been predetermined. Okay? And that's all the word means. If you want to look at the word limited, man is limited in what he must believe to become a Christian. You just simply cannot accept all the teachings and so on that goes on, if you will, in the world today. But there's this word, like again, the same meaning, just a different Greek word. And I'll show you a few verses where it's used when you turn to Acts chapter 4. Verse 28, when it says, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. It was determined before. Again, to mark beforehand, to mark out beforehand. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. Paul there says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. Again, this word ordained is the same as predestinate, determined, that we looked at. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, as we read earlier. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Chapter 10. Ephesians chapter 1. Could have heard that above me there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, there having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure. And then again, verse 11 that we read earlier, in whom we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose. And so you have, if you will, you have these meanings. And again, it means to mark out beforehand, meaning to bound or to set boundary, to set a boundary. God has determined the boundaries that are going to be set. To mark out definitely, without doubt. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, that we're not to think, he's not to think of us beyond that which is written. So God has set our bounds. It's in that which is written. This Bible. That's the only thing that marks our bounds. And that's what that word means, that God has determined that. The New American Standard says in this verse, not to exceed that which is written. Boundaries. And we know other verses that we can look at later on to make the same application there. One of them is in Deuteronomy 4 verse 2 that we're not to add to or take from. Why? God has set boundaries. He has predetermined what we must do in order to be saved. Any thoughts? So from the passages that we have looked at above the text, it can be observed that individuals were selected before the foundations of the world to be saved, and others were selected or chosen before the foundation of the world to be condemned. Again, it's not by name that Chris is going to be saved and Mike's not going to be saved and Brady's going to be saved. But what's been determined is how you accept these boundaries that God has set. That's what's been chosen from the foundation of the world. To determine if the passage above teaches the doctrine of foreordination, in other words, to select in advance, predestination, it is necessary not only to examine the immediate text, but also to study them with harmony with the entire teaching of Scripture. Amen. Since God is true, His Word is truth, there can be no contradiction between truth, and the interpretation of a single passage of Scripture must be in harmony with the whole. The clear teaching of the Scriptures is that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In 1 Timothy 2, in verse 4, Paul right there says, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto knowledge of the truth. And we look at the limitations that Calvin places upon that. How would you explain this verse? Again, he that all men. So the importance of knowing other scriptures. God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish. Okay? This is what's predetermined by God. He was not willing that any should perish. That was His plan. Acts chapter 10. Is that the last verse? Acts chapter 10. Verses 34 to 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, he just don't pick out Tom and Bill and let go with Craig and Gene. So he's no respecter of persons. It says, in every nation, mankind, in general, that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. That's God's plan. And that's what we'll look at as we go through this. We'll stop there and pick up on that. Any thoughts? Anyone?